from Yukon North of Ordinary magazine. This is Yukon North of Ordinary, the podcast, sharing stories about life in Northern Canada, from offbeat to extraordinary. Hi, and welcome to a new season of Yukon North of Ordinary. I'm your host, Karen McCall. It's been a while since we've dropped any new episodes. There are a few reasons for this, but one is because we are rebooting our podcast. I can say we now because I have a co-producer, Mark Koepke, whom I'll introduce shortly. Our goal is for the podcast to work together with the magazine to tell richer, deeper stories. We'll still bring you stories and interviews with interesting people from across the territory based on stories from our magazine. In upcoming episodes, you'll hear the backstory of Yukon Heritage Homes, which is more interesting than it sounds, I promise, and about ice bears with wildlife photographer Peter Mather and Type 2 adventuring with Paul Burbage. In addition to those feature episodes, we'll bring you more types of stories. One of our additions is the Yukon Questionnaire. The Yukon Questionnaire is our version of the Proust Questionnaire, a set of questions posed to a Yukoner of some notability. The questions are always the same, but the answers, they vary widely. The Yukon Questionnaire has been a long-standing feature of the magazine, maybe since the beginning, and we're borrowing a page from that and giving it a voice. The Yukon Questionnaire will be released as a self-contained episode. Listen for that coming out soon. We're also adding a feature called Road Trip. I don't need to tell you that the Yukon is a magnificent place to travel. So we're hitting the road to meet people from all corners of the territory and learn about the places they call home. Our road trip reporter is Greg Carias. He's the publisher of Yukon North of Ordinary magazine and The Last Great Road Trip. Greg has spent a lot of time on highways in the Yukon, Northern BC, and Alaska, delivering magazines and selling advertisements. He knows pretty much everyone along the highway, so we figured he was the perfect person to bring us stories from the road. Greg, by the way, has an electric truck, which we featured in a previous episode called Frunking Up Truck Culture. Road trip episodes are coming to this podcast soon. Last but not least, we're adding arts-specific episodes to our roster. We'll introduce you to Yukon musicians, authors, podcasters, and more. People who exemplify the culture and spirit of the territory in some way. And speaking of musicians, you might have noticed we have new theme music. That track is called Slippin'. It's from Whitehorse-based Major Funk. We'll close out this episode with a full version of that funky tune. Now I want to introduce my co-producer, Mark Koepke. I first heard Mark's name through his podcast, Every Trail Tells a Story. It's about the history of Yukon trails, and we'll spotlight it in a future episode. After hearing Mark's podcast, I wanted to feature it in the magazine, so I looked him up. It wasn't easy. Mark isn't on social media, and when I went to the Contact Us page of his podcast website, it says, "You can find us in the Whitehorse listings of Northwest Tell's Yukon telephone directory." Cheeky. At that point, I knew two things about Mark. A, he has a sense of humor, and B, he's terrible at PR. I later found out he didn't even own a cell phone. But long story short, several months and missed phone calls later, I convinced Mark to help me with this podcast. I also convinced him to join me today to tell us a bit about himself. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Karen.
I already mentioned your Every Trail Tells a Story podcast, but you've been producing audio since before podcasting was a thing. Not trying to say you're old.
Kind of sounds like you're trying to say I'm old.
Tell me about some of the work you did for CBC.
Sometime around 2005, I had a friend of mine, Jesse DeVost, and he was a correspondent for an old CBC radio show called Definitely Not the Opera. And he also did some stuff for the local CBC station, like a magazine column, which was quite funny. I don't know what happened. We were just talking one day over lunch, and he had some kind of crazy idea and thought, oh, that'd make an interesting radio piece. So he went and pitched it to CBC, and I sort of helped him out with that. And that little 6 or 7 minute piece that we did seemed to strike a chord. A couple years later, I found myself at home with a baby.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. How did you get at home with a baby? You didn't steal it.
No, I didn't steal the baby.
Okay.
I found myself at home as a primary parent and caregiver, and I needed some kind of creative outlet that point, I reunited with my friend Jesse, and we went to CBC and we pitched a little segment for the morning show called Smells Like Yukon. And for about 2 years, we produced those on a pretty regular basis.
What was the premise of Smells Like Yukon?
I think you can probably tell from the name, it was sort of irreverent stuff, a bit of a spoof on another CBC radio show at the time, which was called Sounds Like Canada. We did silly things like come up with an official smell for the Yukon.
Sorry, I have to ask, what was the smell that you decided was the smell of the Yukon?
I think in the end, we went with subalpine fir. And I think the asphalt batch plant in Whitehorse was also in the running for the smell of the Yukon, or at least the smell of Whitehorse.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that for a couple of years, and it was a lot of fun. And at first, I came at it mostly as a writer. But as time went on, I got more and more into the audio side and found that I really enjoyed that process of editing and actually putting the sound together. And during that time, I did a little short series for CBC called House Hung, sort of a mini series of 3 or 4 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I did a documentary that aired on another old CBC National documentary show called Out Front, which was a lot of fun. So that was the beginning for me. And then about 2019, just before the pandemic hit, we relaunched Smells Like Yukon as a podcast and did it as a limited series with somewhere between 6 and 10 little episodes, which are still available.
Okay. And then you also produced a documentary for a Yukon North of Ordinary podcast a few episodes back. Tell me about that. Or I guess I know about that, but maybe tell the folks listening about that.
My son, about 2 years ago, got involved in a local hard rock, verging on heavy metal rock band here in the territory with 6 kids. And I think at the time, 3 of them were 11 and 3 of them were 13. And yeah, I spent a lot of time hanging out at rehearsals and going to gigs. And I guess I thought at some point, this would be kind of fun to make a little documentary. That's where North of Ordinary came in, because it was one of the few places that it seemed like I could do something like that. And so I had a blast making that. It was about a half-hour documentary that followed Cows Go Moo and included their first live performance in a local bar. A lot of people ask me how that happens. It's easier than you think. You just sign some papers and your child, who is 13 years old, can find himself in a bar in Whitehorse at the height of Rendezvous, playing heavy metal cover songs.
Do you enjoy being a groupie / driver / manager, band manager, all the things?
We don't call them groupies. We call them moopies. So I guess I definitely am a moopie.
So we'll be hearing pieces from you on this podcast, as well as your behind the scenes work. And upcoming, you have an episode coming out about Yukon's heritage homes. Why heritage homes?
It's all relative, you know. It's not like, you know, most people's understanding of a heritage home in a big city, you know, 100 or 200 year old house or something. These houses were built for the Department of Public Works and maintained by them after the Second World War, basically to house Canadian government employees.
By the way, I should say I promoted your story earlier in this episode by saying it's more interesting than it sounds, because it is.
Well, maybe. I don't know. We haven't heard it yet. I guess the background for the story is, you know, the story was in the magazine first, so I was inspired to write it, coincidentally, by my friend Jesse DeVos. He's also a visual artist, and he had based a whole public art project around these houses to sort of celebrate them as icons of Whitehorse, and his art project got me thinking a lot about the role that these houses play in the history of Whitehorse, and how, in a sense, just because of the way housing's developed in this town over the years, that they kind of really are the most visible example of what a heritage house in Whitehorse, Yukon would be.
Cool. When are we going to be hearing this piece?
This is a loaded question.
I'm razzing you.
Soon, I think. So, you know, with a print story, you're really confined by the space that's available in the magazine. And not that I want to go crazy on the audio version, but it just gives an opportunity to find different ways into the story and to bring in the actual voices of some of the people that I talk to. And so I'm really looking forward to being able to give this same story a slightly different treatment through audio, and to bring a lot of kind of rich sound into it as well, hopefully. And yeah, I'm working on it right now, and expect it'll be done in a couple of weeks.
Awesome. Can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to and get it done.
Thanks so much, Mark. It's so great to have you part of the Yukon North of Ordinary podcast team. Well, actually like 50% of it since it's just you and I.
Yes. Well, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be lots of fun, I hope.
That's Mark Koepke, co-producer of this podcast. In addition to changes with this podcast, there have also been some changes with Yukon North of Ordinary magazine. Amy Kenny is the semi-new editor of the magazine. I say semi-new because she took over that role from me about 6 months ago. I first met Amy several years ago through the small world of journalism in the North. I think our first face-to-face encounter was on her doorstep. I was making a video about the hazards of bike commuting in Whitehorse, and Amy shared some of her harrowing near-miss experiences with me. Amy has worn many hats over the years, and I'm happy to see her in the editor chair. Amy, why did you want to be editor of Yukon North of Ordinary magazine?
As you know, I used to write for you when you were editor, and the first story that I wrote for you, I took on at a time when I was working on a creative writing project that had been taking up all my time and not getting any better or any closer to finished, but I had made myself this promise that I wasn't going to take on any new writing projects until it was done. So when you offered me this story on dog-powered sports, I almost said no, but I was sick and tired of doing something that wasn't bringing me any joy. So I was like, I'm just going to do this so that I have something that I'm working on that I'm enjoying that's going to have like an end date that I know I can finish that will make me feel productive and like I succeeded at a thing. And in the course of reporting and writing that story, I was just like, this is the happiest I've been writing in like 2 or 3 years at that point. So I have a good association with the magazine. That was the first of a lot of stories that I wrote for you. And I've just always enjoyed what I've gotten to write for it. And I knew I was going to be able to continue writing for it as editor and like have a part in other people hopefully having that kind of experience writing.
That's a great story. I didn't know that. That's...
Yeah. I should have told you that. We should tell each other nice things more, like not just us, but people in general.
So a lot of folks around town know you as a journalist and writer. What are some of your other hobbies?
I do leatherwork and silversmithing. I run a lot.
Okay, let's get into the running.
Yes.
You do some crazy length of races. What are you training for right now?
This year, I'm not going to run any big races. I'm still going to run long distances, but no races. Instead, I'm going to paddle the Yukon River Quest.
Can you just give us a brief overview of what that is?
Yeah, it's a multi-day paddling race. It starts in Whitehorse, and you go to Dawson City. It's like 4 or 5 days. You're paddling constantly with the exception of a 10-hour break that you have to take in CarMax. But people kind of come from all over the Yukon, all over the world to race it in solo canoes, kayaks, tandem canoes, kayaks, four-person canoes, Voyager canoes, stand-up paddle boards, which seems insane to me. I used to think that would be the only way to do it because I'm a control freak and I was like, I can't have anybody else messing with my stuff. But having seen some of them do it now, I'm like, that's crazy. You guys are crazy.
And that's, it's what, 400 miles, about 700 kilometers. I want to say like the winning times are like, it's around 30 hours of...
2 years ago, I think there were records set in a bunch of the categories. And I think the fastest team did it in like 40 hours or 42 hours, something like that.
It's going to be hard, but it's also a lot of sitting.
So yeah, and a lot, I'm going to train by just like sitting on the couch watching Netflix, I think.
And you mentioned jewelry. I'm somewhat familiar with your jewelry as well. Tell us what kind of things you make.
Mostly earrings, necklaces out of like enameled copper and silver and sometimes leather as well. And then the leather work is kind of... It's mostly belts and bags and then whatever people want. Like if, I don't know, I've made some crazy stuff for people. Made like panniers for bicycles and saddlebags for horses, which I guess isn't that crazy, especially here. Some fetish gear that people have asked me to make for them. And there's like weird specific things that people always have in mind that are suited only to a hobby or job of theirs that I've never heard of before. And I've had a couple projects like that where it's just been figuring out how to make a thing I've never seen before.
You're a woman of many talents.
Thank you.
And side hustles.
Yeah.
As many journalists around town are familiar with. Amy, what stories can people check out in the spring or February issue of Yukon North of Ordinary magazine?
Haley Ritchie wrote a story about distilleries in the Yukon. Two brewers, which is in Whitehorse, and then two that are opening in Dawson in the new year. Mary Beth Dean wrote a story about secret spots, the secrecy that Yukoners have around their favorite fishing spots, hunting spots, berry picking spots, swimming holes, whatever. This is exciting. This year we're running profiles of 10 impressive Yukoners under the age of 25. So we have the first two profiles running in this issue. And then there's also a Paul Burbage wrote a story about type 2 fun, which is a topic near and dear to my heart. So I was very happy that he wanted to write about that. It's about why he does outdoor adventures that aren't really fun in the moment. And you kind of trick yourself into believing they will be fun, but deep down you know they're not going to be fun, but you can't stop doing them anyway.
Great. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me, Amy, and congrats in your new role. We'll have you on again soon. Another talent of Amy's is on social media. I quite enjoy her Twitter feed, and you might as well. You can find her at AmyKNY. I'm going to close out this episode shortly with Slippin' from Major Funk. Before I do that, though, I want to remind you to check out our website, northofordinary.com. You'll find stories from our magazine and a link to our podcast. We have more than 40 episodes in our archives, lots to listen to. Please give us a follow and a rating wherever you get your podcasts. Our next episode will be out in a couple of weeks. I'm Karen McCall. Thanks for listening to this episode of Yukon North of Ordinary. Here's Major Funk vocalist and keyboardist Selena Haliger's Hair telling us what Slippin' is all about. Wow!
Hey everyone, this is Selena from Major Funk, and you're listening to the Yukon North of Ordinary podcast. I'm here to tell you a little bit about our song Slippin'. Relationships can be especially difficult to navigate in a small northern town. This song is about someone who is unintentionally manipulative, who is so overwhelmed by their own issues that they can't see how they're affecting others, therefore becoming unable to practice true empathy. It happens. We still love them. The lyrical hook Slippin' comes from the speaker's own struggle and uncertainty as to whether they can sustain their relationship to that person any longer. It oscillates between them being on the edge of leaving and also doing their best to inspire the burdened and help them to work through their hardships. The music video was written and directed by the Bolan brothers, with our main location being somewhere in the bush down Annie Lake Road. In the music video, my character gets knocked out into a dream where she is slipping through a series of confusing realities, including one where she has to battle herself to regain consciousness. Oh, You Know That I'm Slippin' was also interpreted quite literally in the scenes where the band is sledding down a hill deep in the heart of Yukon winter. Check out the music video and more at majorfunkmusic.com or find us on social media at majorfunkmusic. Thanks for listening.
Hold the left for think your mama gave you. Come on, baby, take control. You have to know. You gotta work to make our dreams come true. Oh, oh, you know.